Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
With us here on the telephone line is our good friend Jenny Curry, and she's a professional counselor here in Milford. And, of course, as always, Jenny, we welcome you to the show. Jenny, Christmas right around the corner. It's become a very commercial holiday for many. Do you ever have families who look for your advice on teaching their children the spirit of gratitude this time of year?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I should say it kind of how it comes up, unfortunately, is that often it's a source of contention between a family, between couples, between mom and dad, where, you know, one kind of wants to pull back on the reins a bit and one wants to just shower their kids in whatever they want. And it can be difficult, you know, and the way that we're brought up has a lot to do with how we respond to our kids, and especially around Christmas time. And you grow up doing things one way and you kind of think, you know, that's the norm. And then you get married and your spouse has another experience and how they did things. And so trying to find kind of the right balance for your own family with your own kids when there is so much pull for commercialism this time of year can be pretty challenging.
I always said growing up, Jenny, my parents always referred to the kids who always said, I want, I want, I want, as the Veruca Salts of the world. You ever watch Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
Yeah.
So Anybody who's, you know, I want it now and all of that, I mean, those still exist today, you know, years and years later, obviously. But I think that what's challenging, you know, maybe it's not a quick fix right now with Christmas being a week away, mm-hmm. but it's, I think, Jenny, and maybe you can give us some advice on this. I think this is a practice mm-hmm. you could really start doing throughout the year. You know, when you go into a store, if your kid is losing their mind, that doesn't mean, okay, let me find something to make them happy. All right, I guess I'm walking out of the store. You know what I mean? I think it's making those choices throughout the year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm not going to judge, and there are moments when, you know what, maybe you need a little something to pacify your child.
Yes.
Or they need some kind of an extrinsic reward. Like, I get it. But I think overall, if the idea is not to just have that appease that instant gratification for your child, you're really helping them learn some really important lessons, for sure. And it's so hard to fight against that, but if you can, please do, because it can kind of create a monster.
What are some of your tips? Do you have any tips on limiting? Mm-hmm. You said you've got two sets of, so you have two people that make up a couple, as you mm-hmm. mentioned. I know my husband and I feel very differently. I grew up where, I don't want to say there was no limit, but my parents didn't say, you know, you're only getting five gifts, or Santa only brought five gifts every year. Whereas my husband, it kind of was that way. You know, you got one big gift and you got a stocking. That's how it was. So we've sort of come up with a plan for Chase where he has what's called a giving box, where we made like a cart where he has to give 3 to 5 gifts in order, like he has to give toys that he, you know, doesn't want anymore and would like to donate in order to get things back, to sort of be able to counteract, like, you're not just going to get this season, you're going to give. But what would be your advice to couples before you go into these holidays, you know, trying mm-hmm. to find that balance, what works for both sides, because they are very different.
Yeah, well, first of all, I love your idea. That is so cute with Chase. I think that's great. And they're never too young to start learning, you know, the gift of giving. And I think, you know, it's funny, I just had a couple, and we were literally talking about this last week. And one of the things, too, that I said was, you know, think about when it all boils down, the bottom line, well, first of all, what are the values that you want to convey to your kids and to your family? And then that kind of helps to inform your practice and parenting. And, you know, one of the values that I think we all want to instill in our kids is gratitude. And, you know, research shows that there's a strong correlation. Every single study has shown a very strong correlation between gratitude and happiness. And studies also show that the happier you are, or the more grateful that you are, the longer that you tend to live. And so I think, you know, for example, in this time of year and helping our kids, as there's so much that they could be tempted to really want, helping them be grateful for what they have, and maybe even giving gifts to others, you know, or making things for their families, or going and volunteering for people who are in a tough spot at a soup kitchen, or, you know, churches often have a lot of different programs where you can donate gifts, and even the schools. So lots of ways to give back and to be grateful.
Does it matter what age you start that?
No, I don't think so. I think as long as they can understand what they're doing, or even if they literally, you know, I think about my 1.5-year-old, you know, I could even, as I go and I give out, you know, applesauce cake. That was one of the things that I did, actually, was to give applesauce cake out to our neighbors, and the kids help make it. And then they can come with me to the door and give it to the neighbors. And it's just a really fun way to get everybody involved. And my youngest, my 1.5-year-old, may not totally understand what's going on, but just him going through the motions and being part of it, I think is really neat. And I think if parents ahead of time can decide, well, how are we going to put these things into practice? How can we help our kids? I think you're going to be off on a better foot. And I think also maybe even having a talk with the grandparents or with the family members and kind of maybe encouraging them towards fewer gifts if need be, or even encouraging them towards giving the kids some kind of an experience, like a membership or, you know, a concert or something like that. That's going to be a little bit more long lasting.
Sounds good, Jen. We, you know, we've run out of time, but if people want more information, if they want to talk to you, what can they do?
Sure. They can go to my website, www.jennycurrycounseling.org.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you next time.
All right. Have a good day.
Krista Carnes is here. She's our social media consultant. And Krista, it's nice to have you here. How are you?
I'm okay this morning. Thanks. The weather has me a little upside down because I work at a school, so we didn't have school today. So I found myself with a nice day.
Ah, you're a woman of leisure this morning. That's what it is. All right. Very, very good. I got some questions here for you. Are you ready?
Yeah, hit me.
All right. All right. We are nearing the end of 2019. People use these last couple of weeks to clean out social media. And if not, why should they?
Well, it's funny because that's exactly what I was doing before I got on the call. But it's just a nice time to just declutter. Like we bring in a lot of stuff at this time of year into our physical lives. A lot of people have an urge to purge, and I think it's a good time to sort of assess, you know, what are you using social media for? Are the people that you follow and the accounts that you follow really, are they bringing you joy? It's very much on trend with the whole Marie Kondo, if it doesn't bring you joy, get rid of it kind of philosophy. And so there are people, you know, they're taking digital detoxes. They're just taking breaks from social media. But it's a nice time to set aside a few hours, go through your follower list, go through who's following you. Is anybody making nasty comments or are not offering anything valuable to make you feel good or happy or educate you? So now's a nice time to go through and sort of just unfollow and just sort of clean out the junk.
Because some of these things that we're following, correct me if I'm wrong, some people, I know I've done this, you click on things mindlessly sometimes, and you know you really don't know what you're clicking on, or maybe you do know, but then 10 minutes later you're like, yeah, why did I do that for? I don't need this. You know, I mean, a lot of people just do that mindlessly too.
Well, and I think the a lot of places, especially businesses, they're kind of counting on that. And then when they want to, serve you up an ad or do something like that, they're in a position to do that. So especially this time of year, you start to see things reserved to you, maybe stuff you bought last year, stuff that could be renewed. So it is. So you're right. We do it mindlessly. Sometimes we do it to enter something, or we just even just liking something gives them an engagement. So by unfollowing them, And just purging, you kind of reduce that clutter. And there's a lot of settings you can look into on the various platforms to make sure that you see who you want to see. So if you really want to go nuts and you're super organized, you can actually create groups of people. You know, I use Twitter a lot. You can make lists of people that you follow that have, like, you know, a common topic that they focus on. You know, I have a kid with learning disabilities, for example, so I have a whole bunch of people I follow based on that, but I don't want to see that all the time. But when I want to check in, I can go to that list and read it all together. There's also creating collections in Instagram, for example, so you can bookmark a post. So if it's a recipe post or if it's something pretty, you don't necessarily have to follow the account. You can just bookmark into a collection of recipes, for example, you know, and so that, you have it if you want to look back at it, but you're not sort of cluttering up your follow feed. And then I also like take a little time to sort of say, you know, this person posts all the time, and you on Facebook, you can turn down the volume of number of posts you see. So there's some people who go nuts because they're on vacation and they're posting, you know, every 5 minutes, and on Instagram as well. But you can you can reduce the amount of times you see their information without actually unfollowing them either. So there's a lot of corrections we can make and to start off the new year sort of in a better social media frame of mind.
Krista, what are your thoughts on making a completely brand new profile for whatever social media platform? I know for myself, when I got to the end of the summer and I was sort of getting into the fall, for some reason, something just kind of sparked and I had been thinking about it for a few months, actually. I completely scrapped my Instagram account and started from scratch and started following, like you said, accounts that make me happy, very select friends. And I may not have as many followers as I did on my other account because it was 6 years old. But what are kind of your thoughts on just literally starting from scratch, maybe starting a brand new profile for Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or something like that? I mean, do you recommend that at all, or do you think that that's a little too much?
Yeah, no, actually, I mean, it takes a little bit of bravery, but I mean, some of the most well-known social media experts I know, there's a woman named Shama Kabani, and she wrote The Zen and the Art of Social Media, and basically she did that 1 year. She just scrapped everything, and she said, you know, if you want to follow me, I'll follow. But you can't sort through 6,000 followers or however many she had, or even 700 like I have. And, you know, that takes a lot of time. So some people just kind of go, they take the nuclear option and they just go from broke. But I don't know that you have to start a new profile necessarily. You kind of want to keep, you know, if you want to keep the name that you have, but you can scrub it and you can go down to basically nothing. I mean, you want to, you know, make a list of those people, like you said, that are important to you, or, you know, charities you support, things like that. But a lot of times, you know, those off that you've come to know what those are. Some people are really, really happy. And, you know, we are coming into an election season. There's going to be a lot of noise, if, you know, or even more so than now. So you want to just sort of be really judicious about, you know, what you're going to accept. If something just doesn't strike you right, just hit block. Like, let's not be afraid of the block in 2020, because there's just a lot out there that we just don't need to get upset and worked over about. And some people spend their lives trying to get you worked up. So my blood pressure is going to be better with the block button.
Krista, we have run out of time. If people want more information, what can they do?
They can hit me up on Twitter at Krista Carnes, and that's my Instagram as well, but that's a personal account, so you'd have to request my presence. That's another good tip. And then they could email me at Krista@KristaCarnes.com.